Next gen consoles. Wow. Where are they? How do you get them? And what's going on? Let's talk about that. You know who this is? It's Ariel with the vocal trumpet. Let's go. So we're talking about next gen consoles. Are they now referred to as current gen? Which one is it? Because for many of us, they're next gen. But for a lot of others, they're current gen. For those, if you ask me, they're calling them next gen because none of us have them. And the people that have them are calling them current gen consoles. So here we go. You got the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and S, which from here I'm just going to say Series X, Series S, or just Xbox X, S, because it can get unbelievably ridiculous for no reason. So for the PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 is practically nowhere to be found. And myself and many others go online, go to google.com, and you type in PS5 restock, PS5 stock, and you come across Tech Radar, for example. Matt Swider, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, brother. I have no idea how to probably say your name. But with that, where exactly do you find them? Well, he's gone and he's put out a lot of every day you basically got to follow this guy. And you become like a slave to Twitter and his account because you're looking for that PS5. You're drooling for that PS5. And you may buy a controller, you may buy a game, but it's like, for what? Right? Because there's no PS5 and you're hoping to get one. And the only way to get them, if you really do really want it right this moment, is to pony up some dough. Go on eBay, go on all these other sites like Walmart. Walmart has, and even Amazon, other sellers that are selling this for like $1,000 easy. And it's just the console by itself. And you still got to go ahead and buy, let's just say, a TV or a monitor included. I mean, when you think about it, you're buying a console for next gen console. Let's go off with the PS5 here. And it's 4K up to 120 hertz. And you're like, well, wait a second. I have a 1080p. Like, my TV's not even up to par. What am I supposed to do here? So you ask yourself, should I just get the next gen console or should I upgrade my TV first? First world problems for many, right? But the reality of it is when you look back and turn and say, if I get this console now, how about I get a gaming monitor instead? And before you know it, you may lose yourself because I'm talking about someone like myself too. I'm here shopping for a PlayStation 5. The PlayStation 5 has been more challenging to come across than an Xbox Series X console. Everybody wants one, and the demand is serious. The demand is extremely serious for this console. But how about this? Let's just take a moment and say, why exactly am I buying a PS5? What games do they have that I have to have to or have to play right now? One of them, the main one, the exclusive, the big boy right now is Returnal. And with Returnal, the one thing that I've been reading on and watching on YouTube myself as well is the save state. There is no save state. What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean there's no save state? I mean, I have a console, the PS5. I got the Returnal game. It's just me. I've got the entire correct setup here for 4K, 120 hertz gaming, refresh rating. And what do you mean? What's going on?
Well, the truth is what people are facing are there's no save state. And one big issue that they've come across is, well, wait a second. You have to put it in sleep mode, come back later on and say to yourself, I'm going to pick up where I left off. Doesn't matter if you're in the heat of battle. You got to pick up right where you left off. And I will definitely say the one thing that I came across that really made me think twice in playing Returnal, again, I don't have a PlayStation 5. You come across some app or something needs to do an update. It will close out the application that you're playing, which AKA is the game Returnal. And what happens there? It now closes what you were doing goes in to do an update, and then you come back to excited to say, dude, I all I did was I put it down, I got something to eat, used the bathroom real quick. And I mean, there's some gamers that they don't even go to the bathroom. They have a adult diaper or some empty bottle to go ahead and fill. Yeah, come on, guys. Take a break. Come on, everybody. Gamers, take a break. Go to the bathroom. Get some fresh air. Go outside for a moment. But we all know gaming is gaming. No matter what time of the day or night it is, get into it. But the truth is that with the save state, there is no save state. And the company's working on getting that to go. But so far, it's a no-go. It's a no-go. And people love the game. And the only other thing that I read on is that it's not a 4K game. It's a 1080p game. So I'm confused. If it's a 1080p game and not 4K, why am I chasing a PlayStation 5 that's running on PlayStation 4 settings? Like, I'm a little thrown back here, and I'd really like to understand what is the right thing to do here. So I would love to hear what you guys have to say. If you guys out there, ladies and gents, have a PlayStation 5 and are playing Returnal, please post some comments. Let me know, because the truth is, this is a very interesting situation to be in. You have the console, you got the game, you, let's say, have the gaming TV or gaming monitor, but is it really worth it? I know a few people that have PlayStation 5s and they're just like, meh. You know, there's not much going on right now, but meh. I have a PS5 and you don't. That's kind of the way things are going right now. People are literally going back and forth and saying, I have one and you don't. And what are we getting at with that, right? Doesn't sound fun. But here goes the next topic for you. Xbox Series X and S. Xbox Series X, Series S. So you have one that basically is, let's just look back for a moment. Current gen versus next gen. And again, current gen is for those that do not currently have an Xbox Series X or S. We still have an Xbox One or an Xbox One X console. Next gen, again, for those of us that don't have them, that's what next gen is. For those that own them, they're current gen. So for the Xbox, I'll be honest with you. I've been following on Twitter, Matt with Tech Radar. He's been tweeting, hey, this is when this is coming out. This is when this should be coming out, expect this, expect that. And he's been very, very good at it, to the point that I did a one shot of an attempt. And I was like, hey, you know what? Let me try an Xbox Series X. And I got one. Now, here's the interesting part. I haven't even opened it yet, and I've had it now for like 4 or 5 days, because I've asked myself, why did I buy it? What games are there to play on it? And am I using the right TV to utilize its full potential? What's going on here? So the Xbox, let's just say you're one of us that don't have one. Do you really need one right now? The demand is also there, like the PlayStation 5. But the interesting thing is, what are you going to do? What are you playing? So the good thing is, if you have the Game Pass, you can go ahead and go into the library of games that you can play that are also enhanced by the Series X, Series S potential. But let's just say you have a 1080p TV. And with that 1080p TV, you have a 60 hertz refresh rate or 120 hertz refresh rate, right? So why do you need an Xbox Series X? If you have an Xbox One, or like I do, I have a Scorpio edition, Xbox One X. I'm not saying I have to have the 60 hertz, refresh rate, but I have the same games that are practically playable on the Series X. So what is the demand exactly? Is the demand just to turn and say, I have an Xbox Series X or Series S right this moment? Or is it best to just say, I'm just going to sit back and wait. I'll go to a friend's house because, you know, nowadays you can go places as long as you got your cooties shot. And I mean as that as the vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination. Many of us have them. Many of us do not have them at all. And many of us just got one. So that's another topic for another day. So then what are you going to do? You're going to go to your friend's house, or are you just going to go on YouTube and watch what people are doing with the next-gen/current-gen consoles? And quite honestly, I don't know. Do I really need one? I have it, and it's still in a box. I haven't even cracked the seal open on this thing. I haven't done a little reveal for it. None of that whatsoever. And I'm wondering, what exactly am I going to play? So if you guys will let me know, those that have an Xbox Series X or S, let me know what's a good game to play that is current-gen/next-gen, if you will. Again, next-gen. For those that do not have the console, it's considered next-gen. For those that have the consoles, it's current-gen. So then what do I play here? On my Scorpio, I'm over here. I was playing... what game was that on the Game Pass I was playing? R-Type Final 2 demo. I found myself looking on there, and I came across Microsoft Store and what have you, and seeing what games, like, oh, demos, okay. So I started playing the demos, and I came across R-Type. I love a shooter like that, shoot 'em up. And I tried Dead Cells, and I'm not saying Dead Cells is not fun. It is. It's just I was looking for that instant kind of gratification feeling, and R-Type introduced it, but then I saw the prices. Like, you want me to pay $40? And then there's another version that's $60, like a deluxe version? $60. Now, if I remember right, this looks almost exactly like the PlayStation 2 R-Type Final, just with enhanced graphics. So if I really wanted to play that game, actually, I feel like I just pop out my PS2 and play the PlayStation 2 version. Or... I am curious, I haven't looked into it, or is the game R-Type Final 2, is it digital only, or can I get a physical version? Because quite honestly, I would prefer physical all day over digital. Because if you guys have been paying attention, there's been some interesting information going around with PlayStation and Xbox that in the future, you know, they only want you to be able to play this console or the current generation of console for so long, and after that, they close off the stores and what have you for that generation of console. And what happens to your games? And that's one thing that I appreciate with Microsoft, that the store stays open and you have that entire library from the OG Xbox or the original Xbox to the 360 to the Xbox One to now the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X. There's so much Xbox something. Just the Series X or the Series S have these back catalog of games. And that is just huge. And that's one thing that I'll say, is it worth paying the Netflix, quote unquote, like subscription service of games that will be available? Of course. But again, it puts you in a place where, do I really need a next gen, aka Xbox Series X or S console, to play these games? Because they're the same games that you seem to find on the Xbox One/Xbox One X or Xbox S edition, or the SAD, as some people have called it. So it's like, which one do you go for? Which one? And that's where it leaves it, because now the other thing we're going to talk about is it a gaming monitor? Is it a gaming TV? Which one do I go for? I finally got both the consoles, the next-gen consoles that are now going to be current for me. PlayStation 5, Xbox One X, or /S. But now, what about the TV? What about the monitor? Let's find out. So when it comes to now having the next-gen consoles, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, /S, now the real question is, do you have the TV/gaming monitor to run its full potential, that 4K up to 120 hertz horsepower? Do you have that? Because here's where it comes in. Someone like myself, I have an LG 64-inch monitor that's been out for quite some time. It's not a CX model. I do not exactly remember which one it is, but it is a nice OLED. And now here in my office, my main question is, what exactly am I going to put this on? I don't have a 4K 120 up to 120 hertz gaming TV or monitor. So what am I going to get? Am I going to spend $1,800 on an LG C1/G1 48 or 55 inch? Because that's really all I'm looking for the office. But what about, is there anything else TV-wise? Yeah, you got the Sony A9, what is it, the A90J? And then you have also the A80J. You have Samsung's, I don't remember off top of my head the models, but I've been shopping. I've been window shopping on these TVs, and my goodness, the LG seems to continue to come up on top, the LG C1 G1, with ALLM and VRR, and all four HDMI ports are 2.1, versus you go for a Samsung, it has one 2.1 HDMI port. You go for a Sony, again, the A90J, and it has two 2.1 HDMI ports. But here's the kicker. Let's just say you go with the A90J. Again, that's the Sony. The Masterclass. I mean, I like the way that sounds. Masterclass. Sounds good to say, man, I got a Sony Masterclass. Back in the day, it used to be the Sony, was it the Vaio? No, I don't think it was a Vaio. The Wega. The Sony Wega. And that was the way to go. That's when Sony was really on the CRT TV playing field. That was a big deal to have a Sony TV. Today, to have a Sony TV feels like, meh, I got an LG or a Samsung and they run the game. But this Sony A90J, everything that I've read and seen online has been just unbelievable for this TV. The sad thing is that it doesn't come with VRR, variable refresh rate, and there's some firmware updates that still, they're required to unlock the full potential of the TV. So it kind of leaves you like, why am I spending up to like $4,000, $5,000 for something? And it doesn't have all the bells and whistles out of the box. So that leaves you turning around and saying, so if I buy an LG C1 or a G1, maybe by that point, I think it'll be better to turn and say, I'll just spend the $2,000. I'll just do that and I'll get the right TV with the beautiful blacks. I know with OLED you have the image retention or burn-in issue. That's definitely a possibility. But if you know what you're doing, I think you're going to be fine. And these TVs do have their, if you leave them idle for a little bit, they're going to have their certain screen savers, if you will, that it's going to be fine. And the consoles, current or next gen, they already have, if you have it set up properly, that after 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what have you, they'll dim the screen, stuff like that. So you don't affect the OLED panel. But again, going back to LG, Samsung, and Sony, these are the big ballers, the big players now. And is the premium worth going to the Sony A90J for an OLED, and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles out of the box? You go to the LG C1 G1, and you have four HDMI 2.1 ports. Do you really need all of them? Yeah, in today's day and age, yeah. If you're a gamer, let's think this through, like myself. I'm not going to use a soundbar. I'm using primarily headsets, a headphone. And you have HDMI 1. I'm going to plug in, whatever. I'll plug in my PlayStation 5 when I finally get it, or since I have my Xbox Series X, I'll just plug that into port 1. Now, if you're using a soundbar, you have the eARC or the ARC in HDMI 2. So if you go for a Sony A90J and those are your two 4K 120 hertz ports on your TV, you're removing one specifically with a soundbar. Now, I know that Sony always believes in its proprietary nation, if you will, which is Sony TV, Sony soundbar, Sony PlayStation 5, and that's your Sony ecosystem. Sony doesn't want you to go ahead and buy an Xbox. So it's like, why am I going to add more ports? You should be a Sony fan, period. Well, the truth is that gamers are gamers. You know, we rather we play on PC and PlayStation, or we have an Xbox and a PlayStation. But someone like myself, I have my Mega SG. I have my Sega Genesis console. I have my Nintendo Switch. I have my PlayStation 4 Pro, God of War edition. And I have my Scorpio Xbox One edition. So that's five. And I still have my Sega Genesis Mini, my SNES Classic, my Mini, my NES Mini. And I'm looking for the TurboGrafx 16 Mini, which I'm not spending $200 to $300 on that. No, sir. I feel bad that I missed out on that, but there's no way I see myself spending on that right now. But all jokes aside, I mean, then you have the next Nintendo Switch, another topic for another time. Nintendo Switch Pro, quote unquote, is there, you know, on the internet's going, but with four HDMI ports, that's really not enough. So yeah, I'd have to get an HDMI splitter, blah, 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 blah. And for some of us, it's simple. I have my PC, I connect to that TV, and I have my PlayStation 5. I don't need anything else because on my PC, I download all my emulators and so on and so forth. So rightfully so, it really depends on what you're looking for. So the Samsung with one 2.1 HDMI port, the Sony A90J with the two, and if you're using a soundbar, just count it as one. And the LG C1/G1, or excuse me, the C1 model and the flagship G1 model, you have all four. So if you're using a soundbar, you technically have three HDMI 2.1 4K 120Hz HDMI connectors. So what do you do? Man, that's a great question. What do you do? Let me know in the comments section what you guys think about that, because for me, I'm leaning to the LG C1. Again, I'm not using the soundbar, but the A90J has a premium top dollar price, and the LG C1 and its flagship LG G1, they have practically all the bells and whistles out of the box. So why am I buying a Masterclass Sony A90J? Like, I mean, I want to see it in person. I want to be wowed, to turn around and say, take my money kind of thing. But is the juice worth the squeeze with that Sony A90J? Let me know what you guys think in the comments, because the truth is the top players when it comes to the TVs is LG, Sony, and Samsung. I want to say Panasonic's in there as well somewhere with the JP or PJ something 2000Z, something of that nature. And it's also an OLED panel. But it seems to be that with OLEDs, it's what CPU or what chipset is each manufacturer using to bring out the actual true potential of the OLED panels. So let's find out where that goes, huh? Because this is very interesting. This is very, very interesting. And then let's go into monitors. I'm not big into gaming monitors. I don't know much about them. I know the Acer Predator. Samsung is in the game. LG's in the game. What is the other one? Asus ROG or ROG, Republic of Gamers. And I'm not sure which one to go for, because I see a lot of them are 1080p and they have 60Hz, 120Hz, 144. They go up to like 400Hz. And so that's great, but I'm not using my consoles, or when I finally have a PlayStation 5 and I connect the Xbox Series X, what's the point? I mean, they go up to 120Hz, so for me, I feel more comfortable going up to 144Hz, and it has the full refresh rate. But then, you know, I know it's early in the game for these next-gen, or aka current-gen consoles, and it takes a little bit to get the full potential, you know, to get the real full potential of these consoles. But, you know, what's the price of these gaming monitors? $800, $900, $1,000? And then you're going to ask yourself, is it worth spending $800 or $900? Or should I just get a 48-inch LG C1 or 55-inch LG C1 or flagship G1? Should I jump to the premium Masterclass Sony A90J, which is the small size of the 55-inch? And again, I'm just going off of like my office, 55-inch. Or Samsung, I want to say, does 50-inch. And I want to say Vizio's also in that playing field as well with OLEDs. Samsung is maybe going into OLED, but I know they're all about the QLEDs, quantum dots, and crystal this. There's so much going on. so much. And I'll definitely throw this little nugget of information out. I don't know at what point it's okay or has been permitted for games, consoles, TVs, and other electronics to come out, and we're paying the dollar, right? We're paying the top dollar. And it's not, I'm not getting it with all the bells and whistles until a later firmware update or some kind of patch. You know, how does that make you feel? I know for me, if I'm going to throw $4,000, $5,000 at something, it better have everything. It better have everything. Like, you want to feel like you're sitting in first class because you're part of the master class with Sony's A90J. But with the LG, it's more like I'm buying myself a Mustang GT. I'm buying myself the Camaro. Or let's just say, how about I'm just buying a Corvette, the C8. And that's the LG C1. And then you want to take a step down, it'll be the Vizio and maybe even a Samsung. And those are the Mustangs and the Camaros. But then you have the Master Class. What category is the Master Class? We're talking about the Godzilla of itself, the Nissan GTR? Can't be. Can it? I don't know. But the reality of it is, gaming TV, gaming monitor. A lot of options, lots of choices. And we listen in on someone like myself, YouTube, we read, we go, like for me, I read and research way before I buy something. I'll go to Best Buy, I'll go to Walmart, Target. I don't have any Sam's Club or Costco membership at this time, but I know they'll have them there too, to go look at some TVs. And I have to be honest to say that between Walmart and Target, they don't have everything everywhere I've gone. And I've gone to multiple different ones, Walmart and Target stores. You have to go to Best Buy. Turn on the phone, Best Buy. Right, kind of thing. You go to Best Buy and some of them have that Magnolia Theater thing, whatever it's called. We go in there and they have all the surround sound, everything connected for a grand home theater experience. I walked into one and I heard Godzilla versus Kong. And let me say, the surround sound and the OLED TV, it was amazing. I was almost blown away physically, but I was emotionally blown away by everything I was hearing. But you go in there, they don't have all the gaming monitors that you're looking for. They have a selection. Not all of them. And then when you go to look for the TVs, LG C1, it's LG's flagship G1, the Sony A90J and Panasonic and others, you may not find them. Going online on Best Buy, the C1 is sold out. Like, the thing just came out a week or two ago and it sold out. The A90Js were out, you know, the Vizios were around. But again, what monitor do you go for? What monitor do you guys have? I have a good friend of mine that told me he preferred to go with a gaming laptop versus getting gaming PC rig, rather to build himself or pre-built and then purchasing the monitor and so forth. Yeah, I'll be honest to say that's a more cost-effective way to do it. But I feel like a lot of us gamers, console gamers, trying to step into the PC gaming world or are curious about it, right? The whole thing is we're so used to being in this enclosed garden of how things work for a gaming console. And then you jump into the PC, which expands those boundaries because they'll be like, oh, there's no boundaries. You can do this. There's boundaries. But they're not the same as it is for a gaming console. So, what monitor do you get? What console do you get? What PC do you get? Because when you get into that, it's a whole nother ball game. So, let's hit the next topic. PC gaming. Oh man, this sounds really good. Woo! Gaming on PC. Wait a second. Boundaries are almost non-existent. The potential for upgrades is there. Going from console to PC. So going from console to PC, I mean, I can't personally say it for myself, but I know a lot of great people, friends. I got a lot of great friends, great people. They're beautiful. They're amazing, right? they're PC gamers, and I have a good friend of mine that switched from console to PC gaming, and he said he wouldn't go back to console, especially current gen or next gen, depending how you're referring to it, right? But here's the difference. Right now, there's all this issue about chips. And following on Twitter, Matt with Tech Radar, Matt Switter, sorry, brother. I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm sorry if I chopped that thing apart. But Matt, I'm just going to say Matt. Following Matt, the RTX GPUs, the gaming, the graphics cards are also hard to come by, just like PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. So if you have already built your computer, you're waiting, or you can get some form of a gaming card now to get your 4K, 120 hertz kind of thing, or 1080p, way above that. PC is so different. So it's a whole nother beast, but it has such great expandability. And one thing I was looking at is getting an Elgato capture card and using the PCI Express Elgato card in the PC. I was looking at an Alienware R11 or R12. I was walking in Best Buy and it caught my attention because I liked the way it looked. It looked really, really good. And when I went online to look on it or to read and research on it, there's white and there's space moon white and like almost called dark of the moon gray or something like that. And they're great colors. But then when you look at the price, like, I'm not spending $3,000 upwards of $5,000 to $6,000 just on the pre-built computer. And that's looking to max it out because, you know, I'm always looking for the top equivalent of Masterclass. You know, the top tier of that particular brand's whatever piece of equipment it is, right? And at this point, the pre-built computers are almost the way to go because they have everything instead of you having to hunt down these 3070, 3080, 3090s or 3080, 3090 GPUs. It's a whole nother ballgame out here. These things are severely in demand. Who has them? And then you have scalpers. Oh, scalpers. Doesn't matter if it's a scalper for the 3090, the PS5, the Xbox Series X and S, and so on and so forth. It's there. You're going to spend top dollar, even though, can you imagine if Sony or Nvidia or AMD or Xbox said the next gen consoles are going to cost $800 or $1,000? You know, we would turn around and say, what? We're going to spend $800 on that? What? That's horrendous. You guys are doing this and that, da, da, da. But yet, you'll buy it for $500. Someone will. A console for $500. And turn around and say, I'm going to sell this for $1,000. And someone's going to go out there and say, I've been trying to get this console for so long, I might as well spend $1,000. So technically, if the manufacturers of these consoles and these chips turn around and say, you know what? You guys are paying $1,000 and we could sell it at $400, but you guys are paying the $1,000. So how about I sell it for $1,000? Can you imagine what the scalpers will sell that for? Wow. Wow. You'd be $2,000 for an Xbox. Can you imagine that inflation? Woo. 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 No, I can't. Sorry. But PC gaming. What's the benefit for PC gaming versus console gaming? On a PC, there's so many that go ahead and download emulators. And you have Nintendo emulators, NES, Game Boy, SNES, SNES, or Super Nintendo, as I prefer to call it. I don't know why people say SNES. The NES, the SNES, the N64, the GameCube, the Wii, the Wii U. You can download these games and play them on emulators. And then you got the Sega Master System, the Sega Genesis. You have the CD, Sega CD, 32X. You can get emulators for these things. I mean, with my Mega SG, I buy a Terra Onion, and I can emulate a Sega CD, put that thing right in there. I haven't done so yet. I haven't even read on how to do that. I'm not sure how to get these games on an SD card and put that into my Mega SG, and bam, I'm playing those games on HDMI right there, you know? But there's something nostalgic about having the original controller. The Mega SG is not the original Sega Genesis, but it is an updated version of the Sega Genesis to work on HDMI, you know? So with PC, you can download your TurboGrafx, your Neo Geos, and all these other games and everything, and you can have a monstrosous library of games. And this is what's, to me, is leading to the digital era of games. A lot of us like the physical, tangible, I can grab and touch the case, take the CD, DVD, or Blu-ray game, or the SNES mini cartridges, and put it right into the console and play. But now you have like Xbox Game Pass, you have the Steam, what have you, wherever else, like EA, you can get your games and play them that way on subscription-based. And, I mean, there's mods, such cool mods you can do on PC games. Right now, Resident Evil 8 Village is the game to play, especially because of Lady D. How do you pronounce her name? Is it Dimescu? I just say Lady D. I don't know. I haven't played it. That's not a game I'll play by myself, especially in the dark during the day. Don't care. I'd rather watch somebody play it in person, or I'll watch it on YouTube. Or you can come over here to my house, play the game here. I'd love to see that. But I have no interest in playing that solo. Not my thing. And the mods that people are doing on Lady D is unbelievable. They're talking about how thick she is and all this stuff. It's like, have you guys or people never seen an attractive 6 foot plus lady? Never? Maybe you guys should watch more basketball, watch models, you know, look at movies. Like, it exists. It's not new. The thing is that I think because of being locked up in COVID for a year and counting, and you have this fantastic game come out, and to me, I understood that Lady D was the top villain in the game. And when you find out, I'm not going to say spoilers, I should say, you know what? Spoiler. She's not. Lady Miranda is the big boss here. And man, you know, but Lady D is the one that everyone has all eyes on. No one cares about anyone else. It's just her. The truth is, she's dressed very elegant, very classy. And the truth is that that's very sexy. And she looks like she takes care of herself. She has her lipstick on. She looks great. She has control. And I think that's what's very attractive to a lot of people. Doesn't matter the gender. The fact that she has her nice style. You know, she has a beautiful hat. She looks very well taken care of. She looks fit. She's very well dressed. And there's so much that she is in control of. She has a lot of power. And that's very attractive to a lot of people. But the mods in this game are getting pretty interesting. And man, you know, having a PC, I want one, but I cannot see myself forking over easily, let's just say $1,500 on just a PC. Like, I can't. Even though, let's just turn and say, what's the cost of an Xbox Series X and a PlayStation 5? That's $1,000-some. So let's just say after tax and what have you, you spend $1,100. Let's just say $1,100, right? You spend $1,100. And then I'm over here talking about looking for a monitor or a TV as well. So technically, yeah, I could buy a PC. But then the question that console gamers are asking themselves is, so where do I start? What do I do? See, because for a console gamer, you go into your Game Pass, you go into GameStop, you go to Best Buy, you buy the games physically there. You have the PlayStation Network, PlayStation Store. You can go get demos and so forth. Like, that's known because you're in that those boundaries, that little garden of happiness in Sony and in Microsoft. But when it goes to PC, it's so vast and unknown. You feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. You have no idea what's going on. And I've been reading and asking questions for those people that have PCs. And they tell me, oh, it's easy. Go to Steam, create an account, do this. Go to, if you want Microsoft, you can also do the Game Pass and so on and so forth. And that's another thing. So if you get it for PC, you also have it for your console. If you get it for your console, you also have it for PC. So I feel like, what exactly is the point of owning an Xbox console if I could just get a PC? And I think that's what Microsoft wants you to do in the end. They're like, just get a PC because the game is in both playing fields. Because we all know that there's console gamers and PC gamers like we're talking about here. And Microsoft's like, well, I'm going to play both sides of the field here. PC and console. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I think for me, I like my exclusivity of the console. But if Microsoft proves that there's no exclusivity owning a Xbox console, yeah, by next year, I'm going to go ahead and just say I'm going to buy a PC. And I guess it'll be the end from there. But if there's exclusives for the console, that's why I buy the consoles. For exclusive. What I have to look into what exclusives PCs have. Because I see there's a lot of times that a game will come out for the consoles. And they have to wait on PC. Because the console has the exclusive. And then PC will get it later. But building your PC, you got to pick your motherboard. You got to pick your... Are you going to go with AMD? Are you going to go with Intel? Well, how many cores? Are you going with an i5, i7, i9? Which one are you going for? You going for water cooling, air cooling? There's so much more that goes into it. It's like building a hot rod. Like, I got the frame. What motor am I going to get? I don't know, but we got to pick a crate engine. What kind of crate engine fits in here? A Voodoo engine? A Hemi? 392 or more? You have options. You know, you have the LT1s, the LT2s, Chevys. Like, you have so many options. You can make it whatever you want. But for many console gamers, it's like, I don't want that. I just want to go buy a Toyota Prius. This is what I need. That's it. Versus unlimited power with a PC. Yeah, PC's the one reason why I'm very interested in PC is because you can almost bulletproof for so many years on a PC. You buy the top tier gaming card right now. If you're lucky to get one. And you'll be good for a lot. You know, I mean, to me, for 5 years, easy. Or more. And those things can hold. They can push 4K over 120 hertz with zero issues. Zero. But I guess that's the version of the masterclass. I guess that's the true top tier gaming experience. You know? And I haven't been there and I want to experience that. And I really want you guys to let me know on comments. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know how it goes. Let me know about PC versus console. I hear a lot of people that have PC and PlayStation 5 and no Xbox. I hear people that have, like myself, the PlayStations and the Microsoft consoles, no PC. But I want to have all of them. I want to get to that point that I can turn and say, you know what, between PC and console, here's the big difference and why I think you should consider or should not consider. Why you should or should not spend X amount. Because that's something I always assess. Why exactly am I going to spend so much? Is that juice worth the squeeze? Well, I'll wait for your comments. Aside from that, thank you very much for listening in. These are the comments that I'm waiting on. This is the chitter chatter for today. Love you guys. Stay awesome. Stay humble. And remember, you are awesome.